So beginning now, Vav number 8 on Menuchas HaNefesh. And we began last week a series of practical examples of common psychological challenges that we all face, and how the foundations of our Menuchas HaNefesh that we've learned can really help us face these challenges. So example number 1 that we spoke about last week was regret on our decisions. We'll continue now to example number 2. Difficulty making decisions. Our day is made up always of deciding and choosing different options. Some people, the difficulty in making decisions can affect them so severely, they go to the ice cream store and they have to pick a flavor of ice cream and they can't choose which flavor. That's obviously extreme. But when it comes to bigger ideas in life, people face a tremendous challenge in deciding and choosing the option and decision in whatever they have to decide on. For example, it comes to getting engaged to a girl. A person could be going out. This is very common in BMG that people go out and go out and go out. They could be 30 years old and they just can never decide and choose. They have difficulty making a decision. A person could be trying to buy a house, find a place to live, and he could be in the housing market for years because he can't decide and settle on this house. And this could affect us in many, many different examples of people having difficulty in making decisions. Just last week, a person called me up for shidduch information about a bachur. And after I gave the person all the information about the Talmud, he said, okay, so it sounds good, right? I said, I don't know your daughter. I said, you know, this is the bachur. I said, what's your daughter looking for? So he starts describing what his daughter needs. And he says, you know, but really what she needs is a bachur that's healthy. He said, let me explain to you what I mean. He said, my daughter almost got engaged last month. Everything was going well. They went out and went out and went out. And finally, after the 12th time, it was called off because like he just couldn't decide. And I realized this bachur is really not healthy. So my daughter really needs a healthy bachur. This is what he tells me. So this is something that Rachman al-Atslan, BMG probably, all those older bachurim sitting there are probably, it's full with people with this issue. And therefore we have to learn today how the tools of Menuchas HaNefesh that we've learned in the past can really help us face this challenge of when we have difficulty in making decisions. So why do we find ourselves having trouble making a decision? Number one, there's always the fear of making and picking this choice, and who said it's all going to work out well. I decide on this girl that I'm going to get engaged, I have no issues, but who said everything's going to turn out well? Have a long life ahead of me. How do you know every single scenario that everything could ever pop up, it's going to go well with her? I could pick this home. I see it looks good, but who said everything's going to turn out well with all the neighbors and the community and the rav and all the amenities of the home? This unlimited fears of how do I know my choice is going to be perfect? So there's a fear in choosing because I just don't know if this is going to be okay. And number two, there's a fear of making a choice because if I pick A, why am I picking A? Maybe B is going to be better. And why am I picking B? Maybe C is going to be better. I should get engaged to this girl. Maybe if I wait around the next month, I'll be read to a better shidduch. I should pick this house. Maybe next month will be a house that I like even better with a better piece of property. And there's no limit to the fear of choosing this, because who knows what else? If I choose this, well, maybe the other choice will be better. This is typically the two fears that people face. And they become very painful, these fears. It's not just a thought that races through your mind, but it actually becomes a feeling, a fright. And if you ask people who are about to get engaged and they can't pull themselves together, it's not even just a fear and a feeling. It's not just a thought and then a feeling. It actually becomes, and it touches all five dimensions of self that we've mentioned, how their whole physiology, all of a sudden their stomach's hurting them and they're getting headaches and they're really not functioning well health-wise, and their whole behavior gets affected, and relationships, their relationship with their mother and all that, everything, their whole being gets affected. So what do we do when we're faced with these type of challenges? So the truth is, we've learned in the foundations of Menuchas HaNefesh, we spoke about a three-step process, a three-step formula to achieve Menuchas HaNefesh that really could help us when we face these type of challenges. If you ever find yourself with difficulty in making decisions, a person should take that three-step tool out of his pocket. Number one, right away you have to realize the pain and fear that I have is all my physical goof. That physical being of me is feeling such an experience. But that's only half the story. Why would I settle on half the story? No intellectual goes ahead and settles when he hears half a story. You have to know what the other half is. You have to hear the other half of the story, which is obviously the real you is your neshama. How will your neshama feel and experience this challenge that you're facing? You're going to settle on just hearing the part that's coming from your guf? No intellectual will ever go for that. And therefore, we consider ourselves intellectuals. We definitely can't settle on half a story. So we have to go ahead and hear the other half and see how the neshama would experience such a thing. That's the true you. That's who you are. You are your neshama. The goof is just an outer covering. So step number two is to take a peek through the lens of your neshama. Let's talk about this example of a boy going out 12 times and he still can't decide on this girl. So you have to take a peek through the lens of the neshama. How would the lens of the neshama experience this challenge, this situation, this incident? So obviously, the first thing you have to remember is the basic emuna that your neshama lives with, which is the animamim, that the Rabbeinu Shlom, who levadai, he alone is also va'oyse v'yasa l'chol ha'masim. He does and he did and will do everything that goes on. Everything that, all the runnings of this world is perfect design, and there's a divine plan in everything. So much so, this reminder that this is life, the Or Chaim HaKadosh speaks out so beautifully that, you know, you wear tzitzis all day. You wear tzitzis. We lost the reminder of tefillin, like we've mentioned in the past. But I just saw this past week from the Or Chaim HaKadosh that tzitzis is there to remind us. Why did the Rabbeinu Shem give the mitzvah with four corners? Why not three? Why not five? Four corners need tzitzis? And why white strings? Zok the Or Chaim HaKadosh, it's there to remind us all day that the Rabbeinu Shalom is running this world from all four corners of the world. It's his orchestration. And therefore, Dafka on four corners, he was Mechayev us, tzitzis. And Dafka white tzitzis, because white represents the Rabbeinu Shalom's running is done with Midas Rachamim V'toiv, which means everything Hashem is doing is all mercy and good. That's what white represents. So that's the underlying reminder that tzitzis gives us, and that's the underlying idea of what the lens of the Neshama sees the world as. Obviously, every time you pull out this tool and you're going through your three steps, and step number two is taking a peek through the lens of your Neshama, you have to always fine-tune it to the exact challenge that you're facing. So let's say over here you're facing a challenge about making decisions. So how would the Neshama, who knows this foundation of Emunah, experience with the Neshama lens this challenge of decisions? Well, decisions? That's just the choice. How anything turns out afterwards is not based on the decision at all. All the orchestration in my life is not from my decision. I have to go ahead and obviously my obligation in Bechira is to be Boyche B'toyiv. So you have to choose intellectually. So if this girl, everything seems right, okay, so I'm ready to go ahead and get engaged. But the fear that I have, well, how will life turn out? Do you think for a second life turns out based on who you got married to? Did you forget that the Rebbeinu Shloim is the one that's running the entire orchestration of your entire life? And if you made an intellectual decision that this makes sense, do you think that the outcome is limited to what my wife is about? The Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't have the ability, biyotcho, legadel, lechazik, lakol, to make from anything. The Rebbeinu Shlom just doesn't, he's not limited to any means of that I choose. The choice that I made limits the Rebbeinu Shlom's orchestration. And in Mela, like you see, this is Rabbeinu Bechaya writes, that a person knows, El binoscha al tishoin, you never rely on your own intellect, means you make your choices. But then, lo yishon bozeh klal, you don't rely on it. Ein kol maisa machshavos of klum, any act or thought that you do is nothing. Bilti im yigzor Hashem, only if Hashem decrees. Which means my whole life's orchestration of what's going to be is based on Hashem's decree. So where is there room for this fear? I'm so frightened to get engaged to her because I don't know if everything's going to work out. Things working out is not about her. It's about Hashem's orchestration. So no girl you'll ever marry will you ever know. No house that you ever purchase will you know that everything in the house is going to last and the plumbing's not going to break and the rov and the neighbors, everybody's going to always be nice. You never know that. That's not in your hands. It's all in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's orchestration. And therefore, you just have to make your intellectual decision. You choose based on what makes sense and you move on. And so too, the fear that if I pick A, well, maybe tomorrow there'll be a better home that comes available. Maybe if I pick her, maybe I'll be read a different shidduch next month that might be even better. It's the same idea. That fear that who knows if something better could come up, that's again limiting your belief and the capabilities of Hashem. Because better, which means a better outcome, that's all the Rebbeinu Shloim. Who makes outcomes? Hashem. So he can make that better outcome with this wife. He can make that better outcome with this home that you choose. You have to wait another month for the outcome to happen? That's utterly ridiculous. And the Mela, a person has to know that through the lens of the Neshama, it's a whole different view. That those fears that I was having in my mind that became a feeling and it was really painful doesn't exist when you look through the lens of the Neshama and you realize through the Neshama how it would experience this situation. And then you just put on your third step, number three, was taka to put on the lens of the Neshama and focus on experiencing this moment. The lens of the Neshama doesn't look at the past, doesn't worry about future. The lens of the Neshama, like we've spoken about, step number three is to experience and live this moment. What's my tafkid? What does Hashem want from me at this moment? And the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, what he wants from you is to step up and be a man, be a gavra, be a gibor. Whatever you're facing, you make an intellectual decision and you move on. You trust him. And therefore you focus on the moment, which that's the lens of the neshama, not worrying about past, not worrying about the future. Like we've spoken about, that step number three is living the moment. And therefore this three steps of menuchas hanefesh, achieving menuchas hanefesh, really goes ahead and helps when we're faced with this type of challenge. I want to move on to example number three. A third example of challenges that we face. It's a little bit of what we're just talking about. Example number three of common psychological challenges is called the fear of missing out, FOMO. People really suffer from this fear. I want to bring down two stories and then we'll talk about how we cope with it. But if you're honest with yourself, and here's two stories of great people that told us personal stories about their own life. First story, Reb Shaya Astrov himself brings down an unbelievable story that happened with himself. It's in one of his books. He writes, "I arrived at a wedding of a very close friend. The lavish smorgasbord was in full array. Men with high chef's hats were proudly manning their carving tables while ever sharpening their gleaming knives. A wonderful wedding was about to unfold. After quickly wishing mazel tov to the chassan and the kala on the parents, I selected a plate of veal covered with a very delicate sauce. As soon as I sampled the first mouthful, I knew this was real stuff. However, before I could even take a second bite, my mind was distracted by what I was missing at the other food stations. There I was, standing with my plate of tender veal, yet I couldn't wait to finish it so I could sample whatever else caught my hungry eyes. Even as an old friend approached me, I remained distracted and kept looking around for the next dish that I would attack. My impatience was palpable. I was very disappointed with myself. I wasn't even enjoying my friend's company. I realized my behavior was coming from a pizur hanefesh, from lacking that balance of menuchas hanefesh, which is really this experience that we're talking about, a FOMO, that people have a fear of missing out. And even while you're enjoying this food, you're worrying that maybe there's different food that might be better that you want to have. People go to camp. This is a very common thing. And, you know, you don't have a real position, you know, so you're a rotator or whatever it is, so they give you an option. You could go on that trip with that division, that's amusement park, or you go to that trip, you go to a ball game and a barbecue. And the guy can't decide which one to go, and he finally picks one. The whole time he's by the amusement park, he's not really enjoying himself because he feels he's missing out the bowl game and the barbecue. Or if he went to that one, he feels like he's missing that one. And a person never enjoys the moment because of the fear of missing out. FOMO is something that's very real and painful. Another story, this happened with Shalom Shvadron. Rav Melech Biederman said this over there. Shalom Shvadron himself said this personal story about himself. If he didn't say it himself, you would never believe this. But this is what he said. He was once in Chutz Laaretz. He came for Shabbos. It was also Rish Chodesh. And since he was a good Baal Tefillah, he assumed that they're going to ask him to daven for the Amid and lead the Hallel. But they didn't. The Gabbai honored someone else. When Kriyas HaTorah came about, Rav Shalom was certain that they're going to call him up as a Kayin. And he already stood up and straightened out his talis because he knew he's getting the Aliyah. All of a sudden, he heard the Gabbai give the Aliyah to someone else. So at that point, he really assumed, oh, I'm sure the Gabbai wants to give me Maftir. And then the Gabbai didn't. Rav Shalom became annoyed with the Gabbai. But he was not on the Kaf Schus. I'm sure he wants to mechabed me with Ati Yitzarta, the Musaf of Shabbos Rish Chodesh. And then he heard the Gabbai himself begin davening Musaf for the Amud. What happened was, when it came time for Chazaras Hashatz, the Chazan began at to count the Shabbos. So Reb Sholem was the first to catch the mistake. He banged on the shtender, Nu Ati Yitzarta, and he said it three times, Ati Yitzarta, Ati Yitzarta, Ati Yitzarta. The table almost broke from my loud bang. Everyone thought my intentions were all l'shem shamayim. But really, the first bang was because he didn't give me to lead Shachris Halal. The second bang was because I didn't get my aliyah. And the third bang is because he didn't give me musaf. This is what he said about himself. And then I realized, it's mamash my midas rois that are taking me over. This is what Shalom Shvadron said about himself. It's hard to believe the story, but this is what he said. The point being is the same idea. A person goes to shul and he feels like he has to get aliyah. He's in yeshiva and he feels like it's my turn. That's FOMO, fear of missing out. There's something you want and you need to have it. And a person constantly could be suffering from this feeling, whether it's because you're partaking in something else and you're missing out a different choice, or just in general, there's opportunities to enjoy and you're not partaking in it. And this is a common pain that people have, that they feel like they need to be the one that dominates for the Amid. I need to be the one that gets the Aliyah. I need to be the one that's going to say the Dvar Torah by the Suda. And that's a level also of the fear of missing out, FOMO. So the truth is, it's really the same type of formula that we have to take out from our tools and realize the three-step tool of achieving Menuchas HaNefesh that we spoke about is really how we have to tackle when you have these feelings of pain from FOMO. Number one, you right away have to tell yourself that feeling of pain is the goof's experience. That's half the story. My being, my goof. I'm the neshama. What would the other half, the real me, I'm a neshama, how would it experience this incident, this happening? That's step number one, to realize don't accept half a story. I won't tolerate that. I have to hear the other half. And at that point, you take a peek through the lens of your neshama. And the lens of the neshama sees, obviously, life with the perfect orchestration of the Rebbeinu Shalom, who levadai also v'yosev yasev l'chol ha'masev. Hashem is running everything. Every pleasure that we have, as much as we make our shavlus, but Hashem gives pleasure. You don't take pleasure on your own. And everything is all calculation. And then if you fine-tune it, like we said before, step two always has to be fine-tuned to the specific challenge. So I'm suffering from FOMO. So there you could fine-tune the second step, the peek through the lens of the Shama, how would it look? Well, one second. Pleasure is never... Neshama doesn't even appreciate pleasure of Olam Hazeh. Neshama despises the whole Olam Hazeh. The only time Neshama could tolerate pleasure of Olam Hazeh, the physical world, is when you're eating l'shem shamayim. You're drinking l'shem shamayim. You're sleeping so you can do avodas Hashem l'shem shamayim. And every pleasure you have, you're playing basketball because you're going on the trip in camp l'shem shamayim that you could refresh yourself. Everything is for the tachlis of Hashem. That's the only way I have pleasure. You know, I saw from Avigdor Miller, one of his questions they asked him, if someone eats pizza, does it deduct from your Olam Haba? This is what he asked him. And he answered, if a person eats pizza and enjoys this world for no reason at all, except for pleasure because he loves pizza, he has a right to suspect that he's eating his Olam Haba in this world. And it's not just about pizza. Even a plain piece of bread and a cup of water, if you're eating it just for that, you have to worry you're being paid off in this world. But if a person eats and he's thinking I'm doing it to have koyach to serve Hashem, then not only is it not taken away from your Olam Haba, but on the contrary, you're doing a mitzvah that's going to add to your Olam Haba. This is what he said. So the point being is that through the lens of the neshama, we realize pleasure is never for the sake of pleasure. You don't have pleasure l'shem pleasure. It's all for Hashem. It's all for avodas Hashem. And therefore, Hashem has divine exact orchestration of how much pleasure I could get and how much I need and everything that I'm here to enjoy. And therefore, missing out, the fear of missing out, there's such a thing as missing out. If I'm supposed to have more enjoyment, Hashem will give it to me. And whatever pleasure I'm having, it's all for Him. And in Mela, a person goes to step three and puts on his lens of Neshama, and he experiences the moment when the challenge comes his way. Instead, he says, you know what? I'm living the moment. I'm not worrying about what I'm missing for the future. It's not about the past. What's my tafkid at this moment? What does Hashem want from me? And with this also, which is the third step of achieving Menuchas HaNefesh, a person can become balanced and retrieve his Menuchas HaNefesh, his healthy state of mind, and he won't be pulled down that need to be that one that needs the Aliyah and to be that one that needs to down for the Amud and needs to say the Dvar Torah or needs to always have every dish by the Shmugas board or whatever the things are that come our way that disturb our peace of mind and make us unbalanced. With these three steps, obviously, you could go ahead and retrieve and achieve taki yabinuchas hanefesh and have a balanced state of mind. Now, obviously, I just want to speak out is that if after using these three steps, a person is still feeling challenged, that's where we have to pull out the idea of fact that we've learned where you can elevate your thoughts. If you feel yourself getting stuck, you're not able to do these three steps. So you're stuck, you're a prisoner. So fact can help you go ahead and elevate your thoughts and climb out of being a prisoner. You go through those four steps of freedom, of tefillah, and A is for appreciation, you give some idah, and then C is for caring, and then T is trust, and you go through those three steps, a person can climb out and bring himself back to a healthy state of mind. But simply, a person might not even need to come onto that, because simply just getting the right approach and the right perspective with these three steps could help us deal with these two different psychological challenges.